Hi everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We are still waiting on a couple more organizations to join us, but in the meantime, I thought it might be useful to just get started and I can give a brief overview of our campaign and what it is that we're actually trying to achieve. So first off, I just wanted to thank you all for being here. I know Twitter Spaces is new to us, so we're going to kind of just be playing around with it. So please bear with us, but I'm really happy for you all to be joining. If you have any questions, there should be a little comment button where you can then add in your questions, and we can add that to the thread. And at the very end, we'll be able to go through some of those questions. So if anything does come up, please add it to the thread. I wanted to start by kind of introducing the organizations that we're going to be speaking to. The first one is Patrick Foundation, and we have Juliet here. We also have the Coalition of Latin Americans in the UK, Advice for Renters, and Faiths Forum London. Great. So I'm going to give a very, very brief overview of our campaign. Essentially, the Greater London Authority and ourselves, shout out UK, and a diverse coalition of civil society organizations, educational institutions, and London Borough Electoral Services are coming together to deliver an impartial public awareness campaign on the changes brought about by the Elections Act. This campaign will aim to inform all eligible Londoners, particularly under-registered and underrepresented Londoners of all backgrounds, to be informed about these unprecedented changes, most notably the introduction of mandatory photo identification in order to vote in general elections, in local slash borough elections, and Mayor of London slash London Assembly elections, as well as changes to the voting rights of some EU Londoners. So I don't want to take too much time away from our organizations. So I'm going to be very, very brief, but some of the Because of this new change with the mandatory photo identification, approved photo ID cannot be any form of ID. Londoners will now need to possess and present one of these acceptable forms of IDs recognized in law. Some of those include a United Kingdom passport or a passport issued by an EEA state or a Commonwealth country, a national identity card issued by an EEA state, as well as a UK driving license or a driving license issued by the Channel Islands, the Isle of Man, or an EEA state, a biometric immigration document, and a couple more. Now, if you don't own any of these forms of ID, the government has also introduced a new thing called the Voter Authority Certificate, where you can apply online for a free voter authority card or certificate, which will then be given to you. And you will no longer have to then present another form of ID because that will function as your form of identification. So that's now being rolled out. But today I'm going to be speaking with a couple of our organizations who have been identified as being able to kind of reach out to specific target audiences. I think Faiths Forum London, I can see that you guys are listening. I've sent over a request for you to speak. So it'd be great if you could accept that, just so that we can also make sure that you are able to speak. So I will start off now going through a couple of our questions. The first one, I'm going to start off with Patchwork. If you could please tell us a bit about your organization and who your target audience or community is, that would be great.
Hi, of course. Thank you so much for having us today. And let me know if you can hear me all right. Sorry for any background music. But yeah, I'm Juliet. I work at the Patchwork Foundation. So we're a UK-based charity committed to strengthening democracy. We especially focus on young people and communities and individuals that are like traditionally underrepresented within politics. We really try to engage young people from these communities, getting more involved in democracy and civil society. So I thought I'd hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. Also, your sound is great, so we're all good on that end.
That's good to
No worries. Okay, so I think while we wait for the other organizations to come in, I think I'll start with this second question just for you, Juliet. Just to understand why you think it's important for your community and wider audience to understand the voting changes brought about the new Elections Act.
Yeah, of course. I think the key thing for us is sort of voter turnout. It's been a chronic issue in that in terms of underrepresentation for young people. I think now someone can correct me if my stats are wrong. I was trying to do a bit of a Google to make sure I had the right numbers. But I, as I understand it, at the last general election, voter turnout was highest for those aged 65 to 74, and I think this is about 76% voter turnout. It was actually the lowest for those aged 18 to 24 at 50%, which are sort of the groups we work with. Every election, every time people were vote, we obviously want to get voter turnout, and the kind of the issues around this are basically going to. There's a risk of it prohibiting young people from turning out and actually perhaps, you know, drawing down the numbers of voter turnout. And this is exacerbated by the fact that few young people under the age of 25 have one of the approved ID forms that's on your list. So I think, and actually this is a stat from you guys, but close to one in five Londoners aged under 25 say they don't hold approved ID. I think you said it was about 19%. This is really, really low, and quite concerning. So if we're able to get young people voting, not only do we have sort of the struggle that holds, but also the additional struggle of making sure they have ID on the list. So it's really important that they know what they have to bring, and then they actually get out there and vote and have their voice heard.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. Sorry, we seem to be having some difficulty with some of the organizations not being able to fetch the space. Don't know if this is a bug from Twitter. So, Jacobo, I know that you're now on. Are you able to speak?
Hi, can you hear me?
That was perfect. I can hear you just fine.
Great.
And Juliet is also here. We're still waiting on our two other organizations who still seem to be struggling. But it may be worth us, maybe with Clout, going over a bit more about your organization, who your target audience is, and we can kind of then go from there.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for organizing the space. And apologize because I was having a lot of difficulty trying to log in many different ways, but we're here now. So I am the coordinator of the Coalition of Latin Americans in the UK, CLAUC. This is an organization led by and for Latin Americans, and it's made up of 10 organizations in the charity sector. And they work to provide services, advice to the local Latin American community in the UK. The coalition's purpose is currently, changing and sort of developing into relaunching our campaigns that relate to the recognition of Latin Americans in the country. And part of our involvement is to try and create civic engagement and participation to make people understand their rights and the possibility of participating in British public life. So that's just a small summary. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks so much. I guess then the follow-up question would be why you think it's important for your community. And I guess more specifically, it'd be great if you could talk a little bit about you Londoners as well, to understand the voting changes brought about by the new Elections Act.
It's a big question for us because so to begin with, Latin Americans are not currently recognized as part of as ethnic minority in the UK. This is something that CLAUC has been campaigning for in the last 10 years. And again, part of our main remit as a coalition has been to campaign for through civic engagement, and that means encouraging people to vote. So we partnered with you with Shout Out UK recently, but we've been doing that campaign. We've been promoting that kind of campaign of like voting throughout the l last 10 years. But the importance for us in terms of this historic change in the law, this sort of a risk factor is that the majority of Latin Americans in the UK are something that's been classified as onward Latin Americans. That means people coming from Europe, predominantly Spain, so holding an EU passport and living in the UK as an EU national. And as we know, that with this change, people are going to be sort of EU nationals are not going to be able to exercise the right to vote unless they have, you know, right to remain. And so already we have challenges in terms of the proportion of the community that hold an EU passport is not the totality of the community. There's some people that have passports from Latin American countries without any dual nationality. We do have some people with British passports, but so the challenge here is how do we ensure that those who are able to continue voting as EU nationals, you know, ensure that they first of all have the right to remain. We're currently dealing with still like part of the Brexit and the EU settlement scheme. So, and people are still trying to register and secure the right to remain, and because they've been living in the UK for years. So that's one big challenge. And then secondly, the part of a community or the population that do not have an EU passport, so they don't currently have the right to vote, but they can still, you know, participate in public life. And we would like to eventually, you know, ensure that people that are of Latin American origin, regardless of what their migration status is, you know, are able to participate. So yeah, I hope I've sort of summarized sort of the key risks for us.
No, I think that was really useful. And I think you bring up some really important points just about how these changes will specifically affect EU Londoners. To clarify for those who are just listening in, following this elections bill, EU citizens arriving on or after January 1st, 2021, under this new immigration system, if you are from a country that has a bilateral voting system agreement with the UK, there are currently only four that can change. You will be able to maintain your right to vote if you're from Spain, Portugal, Luxembourg, or Poland. That is still subject to change, obviously. Just to clarify, if you do have a pre-settled or settled status and you are an EU citizen who arrived in the UK by December 31st, 2020, you would still be able to vote in local elections in England. But there's just so much information around this, which is why we wanted to have this voter ID campaign to kind of raise public awareness, even though we, as I said before, we don't have local elections taking place in London in this May of 2023. But there's obviously so much change that's taking place, which is why we've decided with the Greater London Authority and with all these organizations to organize this event so we can kind of raise awareness for the general public. To follow up then, how do you think we can help raise awareness about these unprecedented changes, especially for young people?
There are a couple of things. The key ones, kind of social media. You know, for our generation, that sort of we live and breathe social. Well, a lot of us live and breathe social media. It's so much easier these days to spread information online. Making sure it's the right information, of course, is essential. You guys are doing a great campaign at the moment in terms of like your graphics, getting out there in terms of exactly what forms of ID are accessible, who it's relevant to, getting that out as far and wide as possible. It's really important. So kudos to you guys who are doing a great job. Also reaching outside of sort of this political space, whether that's say working with influencers or other community groups, to reach the people who aren't necessarily involved in politics in some way, shape or form is really important. And the other things, education, these are all, I feel like they're almost obvious, but for people who don't work in the political space, maybe not so much. But, you know, even just from a young age, when you start talking to young kids at any age at school, making it clear they know from the get-go that this is now a standard. So when you talk about, oh, you can, even just, you know, you can register to vote at 16, you can't vote till you're 18. making it one of those key facts out there, and this is what you have to bring along with you. So it's almost drilled into them, I suppose. It sounds quite dire, but just getting that information to them from a young age to everyone, all areas of education, so they know what to do. The same goes with working with universities. You often need ID when you register for university, and even just having like a little sentence in there, you know, handbook or whatever, when you're going through that process, being like, we recommend, you know, you keep this on you. I know a lot of people had passports that they then just, you know, took back home so their parents could look after them. Things like that, just being like, these are actually the other ways in which you'll need ID. This would be really beneficial. It sort of sounds quite small, but even that one piece of information could really help someone out when it comes to actually voting.
Thank you. Those were some really, really good points. And I think you raised, especially when you're talking about universities, I think those are also often really great spaces to be holding these discussions. So just moving on from that, I guess for you, Jacobo, how do you think we can help raise awareness about these unprecedented changes for, say, Latin American individuals?
Thank you. And thank you for, you know, giving the facts about around the EU settlement scheme. It's very, yeah, a lot of information we've received and we're trying to communicate is, you know, it's quite intricate because there's many changes taking place and obviously sort of competing contexts. So thank you for that. But yeah, so the best way that we're thinking of and the way that we're approaching the voter ID awareness campaign is both digital and non-digital means. And this is because the majority of service users of these Latin American organizations that the coalition makes is sort of is formed by are people that, you know, are not online and people that are of, you know, sort of there's a digital gap that needs to be filled. So the way that we're working around this is, you know, going to the spaces that the community are normally in, you know, kind of maintaining the sort of usual daily life and sort of day-to-day activities and trying to incorporate this information in those spaces. So for instance, with Latin Elephant, which is one of our member organizations, we're thinking, well, we're just going to do it at a local restaurant that all the community comes by, and it's a sort of an open space. People normally just go there on the way back from work or the way or on the way to work, and it's kind of quite naturally almost like a public square space. So that's one thing, that's one way. Obviously, within the target groups for the voter ID campaign is also youth, you know, how to engage youth. So also attended a particular event that Latin American youth are currently organizing and, you know, learning as well what other Latin American young people are talking about. And, you know, primarily for Latin America's identity and, you know, this the topic about recognition is still quite relevant for them. And so, you know, going to those debates and having conversations and saying, you know, do you think the right to vote is something that, did you know? You know, so it's kind of like the young people are not super politically engaged in that in the traditional way. They're more sort of grassroots and community organizing level. So it kind of like making them understand that, you know, we are also like the sort of the Latin American organizations are working and trying to work with them to make sure that we can all participate. So, going with youth, just going to those events, going to the places that the community are based. Digitally, we're trying to push some, maybe a sort of short informative video. We've currently developed that. So we're going to be seeing that very soon, hopefully. But yeah, we're trying to do it in different ways, but ensuring that there's minimal effort needed from the community to actually access that information. So to make sure that it's readily available in the places and the doing the activities that they normally do.
Thank you for that. I also see, sorry, Faith's for London, I see that you have now joined as a speaker, which is great.
Made it.
It's beautiful. I'm so glad to hear. I wanted to, before I get to you, I'm just going to quickly comment on what Jacobo just said. I think you raise a really important point about, I think, digital illiteracy and kind of understanding, especially with communities that may already be underregistered, making sure that you're not, say, just targeting people on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, but actually going into community centers or, say, faith areas, so you can actually speak to people who, say, may not have the necessary resources or skills to be able to access things online. I think having that combination is really important and something that I think is especially important with these new changes because there's still so much kind of up in the air that we don't know about. So to segue, Faith Forum London, did you want to just speak a little bit about your organization, who your target audience or community is? And thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Shannon. And really thanks to the last speaker, because that's generally been our direction of travel. Sort of cut through a lot of these somewhat convoluted laws to really speak to people directly. Faith Forum for London is an organization that's been around about 15 years, and our goal is really to empower faith communities both to work together and by working together across all the usual barriers between faith and culture to make their voice heard and make their ability to really engage with statutory bodies and governments stronger. And this is going to be key because this new legislation will leave some people out, young people, old people, those who are refugees, migrants, homeless. So I think a lot of organizations here can really, in fact, come together to learn from one another, which is why it's so nice to have a listening role sometimes rather than a speaking one, if that makes sense. Currently, our goal is to sort of piggyback a lot of this information around the legislation, around specifically around voter ID, onto ongoing projects. So, for example, if we're going to do some work between a church and a mosque around blood drives, for example, in the NHS, we'll also add an element of explanation, understanding, and engagement around the fact that everyone needs to have these voter IDs. And a lot of it is simply a lot of speaking directly to those who aren't going to be able to access the information, you know, on Twitter, for example, or through an email. And usually that comes down to having people who can communicate in different languages. And all the, especially around London, there are so many individuals who won't be able to really pick up the information until it's conveyed clearly in other languages, and also for those who don't have easy access. So it says, oh, click on this element and get your voter ID registration card. That can be really challenging for some people. So we're trying to sort of use the engines of what we're doing already offline in communities around really grassroots level work, or, blood drives, engagement, simply planting trees together to sort of bolt on this important piece about empowering communities, empowering people to really get out there and vote correctly.
No, I really like that idea. Jacob, I don't know if there was anything that you wanted to add. I saw that you gave a little thumbs up emoji. So if there's anything you want to add, I'll let you speak now.
Thank you. I was just, no, thank you as well for that in terms of the language and making it accessible, this information, not only from a digital point of view or like digital literacy point of view, but for language. That's, you know, one of our key part of our work is to ensure that the information that is already available is accessible to our community. And ways of doing this is, you know, making sure that materials are produced at, you know, national, local level are in Spanish and Portuguese. And I think, you know, what you mentioned about speaking to people directly in their language is, you know, very important, and it's something that sometimes we can leave aside because, you know, there's so much to communicate, there's so much information to get through. But absolutely, it's one of the areas for us that, you know, is critical to make sure that the Latin American community knows about the change?
Great. I'm aware of our time, so I just want to ask one final question. And Juliet, maybe if you also wanted to jump in, I know that we asked this earlier, but I'd love for you to also share your input with both the Phase Forum London and CLAUC. I'll start with you, Juliet. What do you think some challenges are for young people? And what kind of challenges do you think they would face with this new Elections Act? And how can we kind of mitigate those difficulties?
Yeah, that's great. Also, nice to sort of meet you both representations from the organisations. Actually, just to jump on what you were saying earlier, the young people that we work with, we really do try to get them involved. We run like a leadership development programme, and part of that, we encourage them to sort of take what they're learning and really take it to the communities they work with. So if we have various opportunities coming up, whether it's helping with digital literacy or anything else like that, but sort of in a political space, like do reach out to us, maybe. Some of our young people can sort of help support you guys in any capacity. That's actually something I think I sort of touched upon briefly, but as organizations reaching out to each other, even if, you know, we may not seem to have many things in common or many crossovers, that's always something. And I think in this space it'll be really beneficial for us to sort of collaborate. So do shout. The more people we can reach and help out, the better. In terms of challenges, something that was sort of flagged a little bit earlier, lack of ID for a lot of young people, the options they have available to them are really quite limited. Firstly, highlighting what is available to them, educating them on the different alternatives, including the voter authority certificates that we mentioned, as these are free, which automatically make them slightly more accessible than a lot of the other options, and hopefully slightly less of a time-consuming process as well. I mean, I don't know how long it takes to register a passport now, but I've had friends waiting for months and months, which just make it a completely unfeasible option for a lot of people, even if they did want to consider it. So that's a key thing, is sort of educating them on what ID is available and the other options if they don't have anything on that list. I can't remember what my other point was, what the other question was, but I'll give it over if anyone else wants to jump in on what challenges they might be.
No, that was great. Thanks so much, Julia. And I agree completely with what you were saying. I think this is a really good opportunity for, say, if you were working with young people, for other organizations to kind of see how you guys can collaborate. And we want this to be a space where we're working together rather than, you know, kind of living and working in isolated spaces of the internet. I want to throw this question to both Jacobo, to you, just talking more about the challenges and how those challenges can be mitigated specifically for the audiences that you work with. And then Rabbi, if you want to join in after, that'd be great.
Okay, so one of the main challenges, I think I've just touched on one, which is language. So there's the main needs for us is to ensure that every piece of information that comes out centrally can then be translated or at least interpreted in a way that the community can understand. And as you know, a colleague mentioned, is not only to literally translate the information, but to actually speak to people in a way that they can understand what this means for them. So, you know, for instance, speaking to the Electoral Commission and ensuring that the languages, the community languages that they're providing at the moment, can reflect as well the Latin American need, the Spanish and Portuguese. You know, we're the second, one of the fastest growing communities in the UK. So Spanish and Portuguese, it would be a great, you know, resource for us. But if not, you know, sort of the time that it takes for us as organizations to digest all the materials that are produced in law into Spanish and Portuguese, I'm sure that you can, you know, imagine. But yeah, that's one of the key risks and key challenges. And the way that we mitigate that is, you know, people that work within our teams are fully bilingual or trilingual and polyglots and quite comfortably do this ad hoc. It would be great if it wasn't an ad hoc task, and you know, there was always recognition that there are communities, there are large communities in the UK that require this information, that have a right to the information in a language that they speak, you know, apart from English. But so yeah, language being one of them, and way of mitigating it, I think, is as I said, us being the sort of cultural interpreters, us running the events in three languages, or like two languages depending on the need, our information being produced in those languages as well. I think I will leave it with that one because it's a big one. I think it's a sort of big part of what we do.
Great, thank you. Faith's Forum London, did you want to just jump in to say final words?
Really briefly, picking up again on what both speakers said, it is such a fundamental right. And unfortunately, we know this because every year we do a democracy empowerment with young people from different faith communities. A lot of it isn't the details, histrionics of how to vote. They just feel disempowered to vote, that it won't make a difference, that the system is rigged. So a lot of what we are trying to do, but could use both all the organizations here to support, is to really show these, everyone from young people to old people, that what they do makes a difference, that their vote makes a difference. I think that's the first part. Secondly, we would welcome an engagement with all of you here. Patchwork very kindly suggested that you know, young people can get on board. We feel there's a lot of potential coming from where there was work between organizations, between young people and old people, intergenerational. We had Age UK on board here for a little bit too. But there's people who are elderly who could learn from what's happening online from young voices about how to vote. And there's young people who can be empowered by elderly people about why it's important to vote. Maybe it's time to pull those two voices together in the same space and pick up from some of the social action work that was happening around COVID, where you had young communities going out into the homes of elderly, and to turn that around this voting act and legislation as well.
I think that's a really great note to end on. I really liked your points about empowerment, because that is what we want, is to ensure that people feel empowered and that their voice is worth something and that they have a voice. So I think on that note, we'll end this Twitter Spaces. Thank you all so much for joining. We will be making this recording available. Also, if there's any questions that you have regarding anything that was brought up today, a lot of these resources are available on our registertovote.london hub, but you are also free to DM us. And thank you so much to Patchwork, Clowk, and Faith's Forum London. I know you guys, there was some difficulty and technical difficulties with making this work, but I'm really glad that we were all able to get on in the end. So yeah, on that note, thank you so much. We'll be ending this. And yeah, look forward to speaking to you all soon. Thank you so much.